Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are a queer survivor superfan podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Derek Grining, and stuck in Murgatory with me today are, you know, these two people who I would bleed red with forever. No, red turned on each other. Bleed blue? Yes. Christine Palin and Sam Standish.
Hello. I don't really know what that meant, but
like the Bello Blue.
Oh, okay.
It's like if you're on a red tribe, that's like really you're kind of kneecapping the like teamwork, like
sure
talk you can go to, because like, yeah, we all bleed red. It's like, yeah, you do, because you're people.
Oh, I get it. Okay, that was the problem. Yes. With the red. Yeah.
But we are not alone. We are joined by the one, the only Matt Ligori.
One the only. Hi, how are you guys doing? It's so exciting to be back here. This is my favorite spot to guest on. It's always fun.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
The one the
I mean
only I've certainly never heard of anybody else with your last name.
Yeah.
Not with the last name, but there's plenty of Matts in this world of especially this queer survivor world. So
the general is flooded with Matts.
It is. Like every time you see those memes that pop up, it's like I literally saw one this morning that was like, you know, when it's like the picture of somebody at a party and it's like they don't know I'm, and it's like they don't know I'm gay, and it's like, of course we do. Your name is Matt.
I love that we've gotten to a point, I guess, in society where that would be something you would like send to your friend in high school who's named Matt and be like, you're gay. And now it's like we say,
and then
that,
you'd be like, no, I'm not.
You are gay, like, and so am I, and I'm sending this to you. Homophobia is gone is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
we did it. It gets better. Y'all.
It gets better.
Sometimes you host the Gay Survivor podcast, straight but not narrow.
Yes, we are here to talk about episode 6? Question mark. Yes. Murgatory moment. Matt, have you been on to talk about your thoughts on Murgatory? I don't know. Let's just reiterate what our feelings are on Murgatory as a twist.
Yes, I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, every new era twist, I think I automatically go into it hating it because I'm just, it's the way my brain's been wired for all these new era things. And every season has been different so far. And when it plays out in a result that I'm fine with, then I'm like, oh, okay, then I guess I like it just fine. So that's kind of where I'm at with this episode. But like overall, I don't have any like super strong takes at this point. I'm just kind of like, it is what it is.
I agree. It's like these new era twists, it's hard for me to be like, oh, I only hate it because it's new. It's because they are stupid. They are dumb. Like, they're not cool ideas. They're weird and random. I don't think you're wrong for like automatically disliking them on sight.
I feel very worn down by the amount of bad things, bad decisions they make. I just don't understand why. Like, just do... This twist would be incredible if the safe people just watched Tribal Council or like didn't, whatever. I just like just make it like a one round swap, one day swap, or like, what else was I gonna say? Another stupid thing I was thinking about. I really need to write down stuff before I start speaking so I avoid these situations.
Would you like in this ideal world, Sam? Would you have them like all at Tribal Council and then like some people are just watching, or do you just want the people to go to Tribal Council that lost?
I think both are great. I think both are fun. Yeah. Both give you good reactions because either you're getting people on the jury bench who like are just like, oh my god, or you get the scene at the beginning of the next episode where they're like, Jay went home.
Yeah,
I feel like because they came up with this twist in conjunction with the Hourglass twist, and they're like, this, everyone's gonna love this, it's gonna be great. Everyone hated the Hourglass twist. They're here. We have to get rid of that. And then they just like kind of were like, well, we could just like keep doing what the other half. And like, I'm glad they got rid of the Hourglass twist, but it just, as of right now, it just adds absolutely no value to the episode other than like making it like, I would say, less interesting because fewer people are vulnerable. So it's, I wish they had really fully retooled this when they realized our idea was bad and it made the players very angry that we had the Hourglass twist, and instead of just being like, oh, we'll just like keep the other thing and pretend like it's interesting. And it's just like it's frustrating, like that it's just they're so hell-bent on keeping twists that add nothing, just because they have, they in their mind, they define the new era when it's like, okay, we don't know, it's fine. It's been like 2 years. Like, we can let go of this. It has not been part of Survivor for that long.
The other thing I was going to pair with this is the scenes from next week where they're saying two people are going to go home. And I assume that means they're going to do like the split tribal council thing again.
Yeah.
Why are we merging? Like, if we're only going to have half of the people immune, just swap to two. Like, I don't know. I don't get it personally. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun that they're all on the same beach, but just like, let it be a real merge then.
Agreed. My question with that, I'm confused, I guess, just from a numbers perspective.
Same.
Are they going to both be on jury, or are they both not going to be? Because I don't think the math would work out if only one. I don't even know. It's very confusing. So I'm very intrigued to see how the jury is going to work.
I had the same thought. The first thing I think is that it's going to be sort of like when Franny won immunity, and like the other half will go to tribal first, and that person won't be on the jury. And then like the person who won is going to have that group be on the jury.
That's so sad. I would literally want to kermit if I was like on I was like the one of the double tribal who just doesn't get to be on jury. Like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, I think, we will know ahead of time what happened and why, because there is a party that it will happen that is the day before the episode airs, right? Like, Eliza.
But it's the next episode. It's not this week. It's the 14th. So we won't know this week. I mean, people are going to be signing NDAs apparently at Eliza's event. So
okay. Oh. Well, if anybody doesn't know about this, Eliza Orleans for the last several days has been like, hey, if you like Survivor at all, you're gonna want to follow this account, and pointing at her Survivor account, and then was like, she was like, follow me, and like showing old like Ponderosa pictures to promote it. And then yesterday she was like, 10 lucky people are gonna have a chance to watch Survivor a day early. What was this? Why is this happening? Yes, very confused.
Yeah,
especially like, why specifically Eliza? Why did Eliza get this task and this assignment within the community?
It's very strange. Like, did she reach out to CBS? I don't get it. Just the idea of like
CBS getting out of it.
Like, is, and yeah, it's like, why are we sending out screeners? Like, we're gonna be like, for your consideration, like, what are we doing this for?
One thing I can kind of maybe connect it to, which I don't even think I can, but like, Paramount Plus has been doing a big push lately. They had like a lot of different Paramount Plus shows, like had a representative in Times Square last week that were just doing like promo things. Like Kylan from Big Brother and the Challenge was there with like the Ninja Turtles and like, I don't know, just various other people that are on Paramount Plus and characters. So I don't know if they're like continuing that and keeping promotion going on and maybe doing more next week, and somehow Eliza got tapped, but I don't know. It's bizarre. But if you live in the New York area, follow at Survivor Eliza.
That commercial where Jeff Probst and Dora the Explorer and RuPaul were on the top of that mountain, it's another iteration of that.
Yeah. The mountain continues. The mountain never ends.
Yeah,
I'm wondering now, is like the episode next week going to be like a big one? Like, are they trying to like hype it up more? Like, is it going to be like, I don't know. Like, why that episode too? It's like the third episode after the merge. Whoa. Like,
nothing like this has ever happened before.
Yeah, so there's no precedent like why they're doing it.
I know I sound like Jeff Probst, where I'm like, this is the first time a shot in the dark has ever worked. But like, I really don't think anything like this has ever occurred.
It's very strange, and I don't know. Is it just because Paramount Plus doesn't have like any like original content? Yeah, it's all just like backlog stuff.
How dare you?
Like, I mean, I'm sure they do, but I'm just like, I feel like they are seeing the other streaming girlies like pop off with their stuff, and they're scared. They're scared.
It's people like you who are the reason we won't have a Players season 2.
What the hell is that?
The people who did American Vandal did a show that was about people playing League of Legends, and it was so funny and good.
Oh, I'll take your word. I'm just like, every word of that, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You didn't watch American Vandal? It's people like you who were the reason we don't have a season 3 of American Vandal.
I did watch American Vandal. I have not heard of this League of Legends thing, but I, as a recovering League of Legends player, I will have to check this out.
It's so unbelievably funny.
Last night I described, do you know Pokemon Unite? I was like, Pokemon Unite is like an even more boring version of League of Legends, is how I was describing it to someone. But still,
never played either.
Yeah, have not.
MOBA. Okay, before we get into the episode, I do just want to discuss the other thing that's been going around on the internet lately. The supposed All Winners Big Brother winter season that is coming.
CBS Legends or whatever.
You know, I don't believe it.
Ooh.
Oh my god. Oh, well, I as someone who like very decidedly is not Big Brother, like in the trenches, like where is this rumor coming from?
So well, there was an article who, that, yeah, go ahead, Sam.
The only thing I've seen from it is like a person being like, hey, like new tea, here's the cast that they're talking about for winter season. And then they just posted like the 12 most likely to be on winners of CBS reality TV shows. And, you know, there's no, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, no, so the I guess real way that it started, there's been speculation for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now that there would be some winter Big Brother because the writers strike, or the actors strike, everything, of course. Big Brother's easy to produce, and they, you know, pull out these winter seasons out of their pocket whenever they need the extra content. But then Dalton Ross had an article with Julie Chen saying, you know, maybe this winter we'll have some kind of legend season or winter season, who knows? And the fact that, like, Julie was actually a part of this article, like, she was the one they were speaking to, gave it a lot more credence to be like, okay, maybe something actually is going to happen. And then I don't know if she said it or if the internet said it, that it was like, it's unlikely to be winners, but maybe more legends. And then one of the challenge spoiler accounts had jumped in to say, yes, we've heard about this. And it's not just going to be one or the other of those. It may be, or for, just from Big Brother, it may be all of CBS legends in some way. So there could be truth to it, but nothing's confirmed. I think a good idea of when we'll know more is potentially on Big Brother's finale this Thursday night. We may know if it's going to happen, but I don't know. Would love to.
I mean, I feel like Legends makes more sense for Big Brother. Would they have an even number of women to men for a Big Brother?
Not for winners. Winter season? Not for winners.
No, because even if they did like a 6-6 men and women, they would have to get like every single female winner, basically.
Not that Survivor can talk much shit given the like the Winners at War like cast, but at least there was enough.
But they got it together.
Yeah, they made it happen. I was like, that you can't make that happen for Big Brother.
They left people who desperately wanted to play at home. Survivor did it fine.
Yes. So it's you said CBS Legends.
More survivors that enter the house and I don't know, Amazing Racers.
I do think that Natalie Anderson as the first person to play all three makes sense in my mind. And I would support.
Yes.
I see that for her. Especially nowadays where I guess
fantasy cast list.
Yeah. I guess nowadays when it's like winning challenges is how you win Big Brother, I say she's a shoo-in. I like her chances.
Get her in there.
I support. Okay. Survivor 45, episode 6. Matt, have you been enjoying the season so far?
I really, 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 truly have. And that is such a surprise to me because these new era seasons have just been, they've been good. You know, we kind of get to certain points throughout those seasons and we're like, oh, like this has been fun so far. And then, you know, something happens and it's like, all right, I'm out. 43, I'm looking at you. And sorry, Sam, I think you're a defender. Are you a 43 defender? No.
How dare you?
Get off of the call.
That's come on like to a my slur. Podcast and you talk about me like that?
Okay, sorry. Somebody recently I saw being like 43 is not as bad, and
I think that 43. My first position on the discussion of the most strategically good finalists of the new era is 43. But then Derek, Christine, and I offlined about it, and I've come to the conclusion that all groups of finalists are equally as good strategically as every single other one.
That's what I thought I was connecting in my head. I'm sorry, Sam. But anyway, 41, 42, 44 all have had their good, you know, parts and things that I've enjoyed. But 45, I've just been, since day one, been like loving the cast and loving how everything has been playing out. It's been so good. this season, you know, we talk a lot about how we want returnee seasons maybe coming up soon, just because of all of these new era players that have all been so good and you want to see them play again. This season feels like it's a cast of returning players. It just feels like they brought back all of our favorites and they're all here playing again. I feel like I know all of these people, and this is like just like that energy of when you watch like a Cambodia and seeing all of these fan favorites come back. Sam doesn't like that season. I know that.
Finally being accurately represented.
But just the feeling of seeing like all of those people that like you're excited to see again, whether the results play out in your favor or not, that's what I'm getting here. So it's just been so much fun. Every episode has been, you know, filled the 90 minutes, obviously it being a big factor in that, helping with extra character moments, getting like Kuki Kendra in every single episode is fantastic. And just all the gameplay has been easy to follow as well, and it's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like after 44, I was very positive on that season for a lot of reasons, but there was a concern I had about the direction they're going in with the advantages and the twists and like forcing people into choices. And I was definitely going into the season really worried they were going to like lean into that more, but it does feel like they kind of pumped the brakes a bit. Like we're still getting it, but I was kind of surprised. I'm like, oh, they took the right lessons from 44, which is that casts are really great and we should highlight them rather than all these like goofy things where we force people to lose their votes. Again, it's still present. People have lost their votes this season, but it was like very heartening to see like, oh, I think they'd kind of learned the right lesson from 43-44 rather than just continuing the course.
I wonder if we're getting the same amount of twists. It's just all spread out because of the added time. I don't remember when the word came down that it was going to be 90 minutes, but maybe it was like after the season had filmed, or like they didn't have time to adjust the like twists and stuff to like account for all the added stuff. But I don't remember, but I agree. I feel like it's been a beautiful amount given what they are lately.
I agree. It almost makes them, and maybe this is a hot take, but it almost makes those moments in the season when we get the capital J journey, like they just stick out like such a sore thumb to me in a way that I'm like, this show, like this season would be literally so perfect if those just were not there. And I get a lot of people maybe don't have that like vitriolic of a reaction to it, but that's just like, it's so hard to not be taken out of it when I have to like listen to like Austin or Drew describe what's written on a piece of parchment about how you can uncancel a canceled vote. It's like, that's just like so boring. I don't understand how you can be sitting in the editing bay and be like, people are going to love this. They're going to love hearing these words strung together by some guy. It's like, just get rid of all of it and I will be so happy. That is my request.
Just with, again, with the additional time, it feels like they're giving a lot of maybe more minor characters time to just have a storyline. Like, I don't know what Katara gets in any other season where they don't have the time to give her a little bit in each episode to say, hey, look how much I hate Bruce. And it's funny and it's hysterical and everyone's loving that part of just getting to, you know, even if that's her only storyline, it's been a joy to follow. And she's been getting, you know, very funny confessionals along the way. So things like that. I mean, the editing, it's been certainly good and I would say better. I found it interesting that so far it feels like all of the under-edited players have been the ones getting voted out. So that, you know, does certainly feel intentional. It's like, you know, Jay Maya, Brando, all these people who were like quieter in the edit, not as important so far, like they're sliding off the board. So it's like, who's next? Like Julie, Sifu, people who were also just not as relevant to the story, which is fine because eventually we're going to get down to just main characters and it's going to be a huge clash. And that's going to be also just incredibly fun. So I have no complaints.
Very Which Drag Race insane. In that way. Yeah. Drag Race, you've got your four queens that you for sure are going to see at the end. So it's like,
and everyone else, hey,
let's get
off
to it.
That's what Survivor did from like 33 through 38, 39. I'm glad they're spreading it around a little bit more lately.
I agree. Yeah, and it does feel, it's nice to like track the logic of these votes. It's like, yes, Jemaya going was shocking, yes, like from a, like just like a viewer standpoint, it is shocking because like Caleb was going home and then this stupid thing that shouldn't exist happened and now she's going home, but it still made sense because it's like we got to hear why people would be willing to cut her so easily.
Christina's frozen in the happiest smile ever, sorry.
it doesn't I let's talk about Jemiah, because please. I do not understand how she was the one who was the one from Reba who they were like, we need her out now. Like, she seemed so ride or die with them. She like, and she was like willing to take the fall with Sifu that like she voted for him. And I just don't understand how she was the one. If they had to choose between Sifu or Jemiah, they kept going back and forth even after they voted for Sifu. Like, I don't understand how it became her.
I mean, maybe to borrow a Gen Z-ism, but maybe they got the ick from how much she was ride or die, you know? It's like, but calm down. Like, we get it. You really want to work with us. Like, I think it's just that four was like, it literally does not matter to them which of the two goes.
Plus, once she had the amulet, then it's like...
Yeah, it was done for her. The sandwich of it all. I love how much, like, revenge is a plot line in this season. Everyone's, like, pissed at each other for... the sandwich, and then Kendra was pissed about. I forget what she wanted revenge for, but I'm glad she's trying to get
it. Emily lying to her.
Yes.
Yeah. But she doesn't do revenge because she lives by karma, but in Survivor, yeah, she can get revenge.
Exactly. It doesn't count on Island Time. I love Kendra so much.
Sam, the Jemiah thing to me felt like it was giving, like, she was their little sister and they all wanted to hang out with their friends and not have their little sister around. So it was like, sure, you can trust your little sister, but like, she's not bringing a whole lot to your game, to the table. And they were just like, at a certain point, they didn't want to keeping an eye on her, where she could have been unpredictable and just gone off and found new friends. So they were just focusing on the people that they knew that they were, you know, strategizing with and playing with, and maybe bring in some more people. And, you know, at a certain point, they kept talking about how it's the easy vote because everybody will agree on it. We agree on it, so they should agree on it. But it was so weird to see the way that they were interacting with, like, the Bello people being like, so yeah, we're fine with Jay going home. And they were like, what? But
right.
She's on your tribe. And they're like, yeah, but it's fine. And it's like, okay, well, if I was Katara or any of the other ones and like Caleb wasn't part of the conversation, I'd be like, okay, then we're gonna go get Jay and vote one of you guys out. Like, why were they being so open about it? It was weird.
It was, and it's very suspicious. At the point where Caleb is at tribal being like, the three Reba girls, like, we have to get rid of one of them, it totally makes sense. They're like, well, we don't care about Jay at all, like, we can get rid of her. But the whole, like, at the feast and at the camp, like, I agree, Matt, like, it was so bizarre to watch D and Julie go up to Katara or whatever, and they're just like, yeah, we want D out. And like, it doesn't actually make any sense, but it's very refreshing. And like, it's so great to see people not just like stick to their original tribe. Like, all of Reba is there, and I think it's good that they merged so early so that there was no possibility where the six of them could stay together. And I think Reba probably recognized that they were going to have one of them voted out anyway. So it was time to start like petitioning for a specific one of them to go.
Yeah.
But then, like, bizarrely, as all this is happening, we have this narrative that just feels like the narrative they need to like really justify it, that Jay is like really dangerous and running things. It's like every season there's a vote. I feel like there's a vote, it's usually a young woman, where it's like, she, like, we want her gone. We as the viewers see this person as like not in the center of power, a kind of on the outs, as we saw with Jay explicitly. It was like said like a billion times, Jay is on the outs, Jay is on the outs. Then we get to the merch, like, Jay is like this fucking puppet master. Like, she's running everything. And so it's always hard when we get one of those votes that's like based on like the narrative being put forward is like based on, it's just like the narrative the players come up with to like justify the vote. So, but those votes always feel weird because we're like, that's not true. Like, that's,
you just made that up.
I'm glad they did like try to like make us, it seems like they portray Jay's time on the island, as far as we can tell, like accurately, which is she wasn't that figure. But we get to see those actual contradictions of like island logic and like what actually happened in the game. It's always fun, but it makes the vote like not like incredibly satisfying, because it's like, we know she's not that important. So it's like, this really just came down to numbers and like who was in the center of power and who wasn't, rather than taking down this big player.
Right. And it was just sad because her like deflate, like the way her body just like crumpled up when Caleb was safe. I felt so bad for her. She's primed for a second chance vote if that's happening, you know?
And I genuinely feel like she did a great job. Like, she was one. Yeah. If it weren't for the shot in the dark, she would still be here. And two, like, after, like, in the tribal, like, when Caleb is like, I think Jay should go home, she killed him. Like, she ended him. She, like, totally defended herself so well and convinced the rest of the tribe to continue to vote Caleb. And then even in the post-tribal, like, in the post-scramble, like, it doesn't make sense that whatever, Rebo girls go home. But, like, you know, saying let's all vote out Emily makes complete sense, too, because that's Caleb's number one ally, which is obviously what we don't love to see when, you know, if you can't get a man, get his closest female ally sort of thing. But, like, it made sense for her to do in that situation. I think she did a good job. Sad to see her go.
Yeah, I know a lot of it was Caleb kind of doing some damage to his own game in Tribal Council, but the fact that, like, D was jumping in and you know, helping to defend Jay when Caleb was saying all the stuff he was saying, I was like, see, obviously, like, the social connection that she has to these people is still, like, strong enough where, you know, they wanted her out because, like, on a gameplay level, they were like, it doesn't really make sense for us to need her around anymore. But, like, on a social perspective, like, she was doing just fine.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of that, too, was maybe some self-preservation from D, because Caleb was trying to create this, like, Reba women, like, monster out of nothing, which I totally understand D and Julie being like, fuck that. Like, stop trying to, like, blow up our games.
What about the Bello women right there?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Well, it's different because Bello has lost a member, I think.
I guess, but, like, we're talking about this conglomerate of three strong women from a tribe that, like, these three just came back together too, but, like, also leave them alone, so it's fine.
And you're not scared of the Bello or the Reba men? There are three of them. Right, like...
Just to talk about Caleb's reasoning is that the Reba women had all been on the same beach the entire game so far and not split up at all. And that's why he singled them out. But I agree. Like, it's all perception.
I really liked seeing Dee get spicy with him as soon as she jumped in, because she's been, like, you know, we'll get to Edgic, and she's been very much highlighted throughout just to get her thoughts on the game and all this kind of stuff. But at Tribal Council, to see her, like, actually jump in and get in on the action and be like, listen here, big tall man, easy.
Easy. That's not true, Ellen.
D is so awesome. I love her. I am so glad she's on the season. And when you were talking about how this season feels like it's a returnee season, she is the first, like, the main person on my mind talking that way. Like, I don't know what it is about her. I just think that she is so great on the show and, like, so natural and so good at the game and just, like, really, really fun. And like we're talking about with the 90 minutes, and I think we've talked about this before, like, I just don't think, unless one of them wins, but even then, I don't think we would be seeing and checking in with her relationship with Julie every episode if it weren't a 90-minute season. And it's so fun and nice to see this relationship highlighted.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like, we literally, like, we know for a fact they would with Eric and Ed, like, yes, they would have hidden this, and they did. So yeah, I agree, because Julie also is just, like, so fun. I wish she got even more, because she just, like, cracks me up. She's, like, so stone cold, but it's like so funny when they're like, Mama Jay, and it's like, Mama Jay, like, is, like, ready to cut every single one of you and will do so gladly. Like,
also, she's very funny just even in camp life, because like, when they got the tree mail that a boat was coming, Jay and I was like, do you guys want to do a big, like, welcome on the beach? Like, oh my gosh, and Julie was like, no, I don't have the energy for that. And so Jay had to do it by herself, but she wrote, like, welcome on the beach just alone.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, like, the wide shot, like, they got the camera out there far into the ocean to get a shot of Jay writing welcome.
Her, like, little tiny welcome. Yeah, it was, like, so fun. Julie's so fun. The Reba people are so fun. Bello people are so fun. It was what's the opposite of a breakout episode for Bruce? Whatever was happening here with
a breakdown episode.
I mean, he got his target. Yeah, he got his target technically, but it's just,
that's the funny part. Yeah,
this was just so fun
watching him the whole way through talk about, you know, I it's got to be Caleb. Caleb is the problem. He's the puppet master. He's the social guy, and nobody's talking to me because they're all talking to Caleb, and he's the worst. And every single person, all of his allies, Kelly specifically, being like, Bruce sucks. I think it's really. I got to start looking at Bruce because he's not good for any of our games. And then you get the Tribal Council and what, 10, 11 votes on Bruce. I mean, on Caleb, which is exactly what Bruce wanted. So it's a very, the edit there is, like, confusing, but also, like, there's obviously more to go with Bruce's game. And I just can't wait to see when he does get voted out, because I don't think he's making it to the end. When he does get voted out, I don't know if he's going to be blindsided or if he's just going to make a lot of noise on the way out, but it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, I think he's going to be a finalist, but
yeah, I don't know. I was just going to say that I forgot he's on an idol.
Oh, me too.
Well, Caleb would be happy to remind you.
Yeah.
But Sam, imagine that that Bruce is at the end, he has to sit besides Emily. That has to be final tribal mm-hmm. council.
And Keturah.
And Keturah.
I mean, I think that Bruce was just, because this happened, we were shown it happening right before the challenge. And I think that Bruce was probably just realizing that he like is gonna have to go to tribal and like vote, and or like might even be, maybe he could go home tonight, as Valentina said. Like, I think that he was freaking out so much because like he's never had that experience before, despite being a celebrity and sort of been on TV before. He's never ever had to vote for anybody. So I think that he was really in his head. But like, you would think that after a couple days with Caleb, he might think that they have a strong foundation of a relationship and not worry about the Reba people going home. And I think that that panned out. Like, Caleb wanted the Reba girls to go and was like, wanted to work with Bello. Keturah wanted to keep working with Caleb. Bruce like caused all this dissension seemingly for no reason.
Oh my God, the Keturah, speaking of Keturah and Bruce, what did she say? It was like, maybe your leadership will get everyone together.
You'll be inspired by your leadership or something.
Yeah. So good. I love Keturah so much. I know she's embroiled in Rick Devin's drama right now, no one, not even Rick Devin's can get me to hate Keturah. Me watching Rick Devin's try to come for Keturah. Maybe your leadership will get everyone together. My God.
I was so happy to see her get back with Kelly and Kendra, because like, just to know that like they're still okay. Yes. And yeah
it's like the what the like Korong beauty girls were like supposed to be in the edit. It was supposed to be like this women's alliance happened like in the first few days and then it's gonna like matter, and turned out actually it didn't really matter. We just needed like a reason to hear Michelle's thoughts on like the social dynamics of her tribe.
I feel like you evoked the Korong beauty girls every single episode of
It's so important and vital to the conversation at large about Survivor.
I think that we talk about the Korong beauty girls in every episode of this podcast, not just Survivor 40, not just Survivor 45, but every Bitter Jurors podcast that has ever gone out.
Yeah,
and that's pretty impressive given how horrible one of them is. the fact that the group as a whole, specifically two of them, and specifically one of them, is enough to overpower the one bad apple.
I mean, it's just so powerful in so many ways. I just like I could write a text on the Korong beauty girls, and I will.
It's going to be Ty or I.
Oh my God.
I love
is she still being a conservative online?
I don't think she ever made that documentary about Princess Anastasia. Did you guys all see that? She, Anna Kate, had years ago like a Kickstarter or GoFundMe or something to make a documentary. She claimed to know that Princess Anastasia survived, and she claimed to like know the identity of Princess Anastasia and was going to make a documentary revealing the identity. And as far as I can tell, she took the money and ran. I don't think she's ever revealed.
Her name is Michelle Fitzgerald.
Yes. But I don't even know if I believe in the Bello girls. I mean I believe in all three of them individually, but as a group, I'm like, Kelly was very ready to cut on the swap tribe.
Yeah.
That's the thing about them, is like that whole group, the entire blue tribe, is like they're all about to get ready to like turn on each other at any moment's notice, but they're still being like they all have very good edits. They're all very present in us knowing what's going on. The other tribe, the red tribe, is the one that looks like they're a lot closer, a lot more bonded game wise. They all came together to say, let's vote out one of our own because she's not actually with us. But it still feels like they're secondary characters besides maybe like D. So I don't know, maybe that's just because I enjoy the blue tribe more that I feel that way in my heart. I don't know.
No, I felt the same way for most of the season so far, but I feel like as we get further and further, I'm like, no, like these people are like the pretty primary characters in the season.
I mean, I feel like that's part of the 90 minutes is like there is room to, I guess, interpret as is not really the right word, but there is like you get maybe more out of it. Like maybe too, yeah, the Bello people are like maybe more the focus, but then there's like, you could be on the side of no, like Reba is actually the ones. And I think just 90 minutes in general is just like so great for creating tension, like as a television product, because there's not much tension when the only characters are Jam Jam and Carolyn and Carson. And so it's like, I wonder who's going to maybe get to the end. Like in this scenario, it's like, yeah, I could see the Bellows like maintaining that momentum throughout, or the Rebas could like come out of nowhere and dismantle that. And the Lulus are still there. So I think, yeah, this season is just giving in so many ways.
Speaking of the Tika 3, and this is not about Survivor 45 at all, but I just lately I've been thinking about how like the critique coming down from production or whatever, or like the idea about like why they don't like 43 was the like conservative gameplay or whatever. They were like, people were afraid, blah blah blah, blah kind of thing. But like 44, like people didn't like take out, people played against their best interest to like support the Tika 3. So I'm kind of like, I think they didn't like it for other reasons. That's just like a thought I had this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think they disliked it for the correct reasons, which is a conservative person won the game, not the conservative gameplay.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, Seth, the Mark Burnett production is okay with the conservative winning? What?
I just think they did not like the final three. I just think they, like, I mean, it's just... here we are getting back into 43 discourse.
I would love to relitigate.
But I just think maybe it's not so much that they like the final three, they didn't like that Jesse and Cody didn't make it. Like,
yes,
yeah.
They didn't like that. I think that's if one of them had made it to the final three, I mean, one of them probably would have won, they would think that's a top 10 season. It's just that their favorites didn't make it to the end.
People were talking a lot about the Tika 3 this week because of the Emily and Caleb situation. If they knew what happened last season, that this tribe that went down in numbers came into the merge and, you know, powered through and ended up at the end together, then they knew not to let Caleb and Emily do it again this time around, especially Bruce knowing that that happened. So definitely a factor.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely the new Malcolm and D asterisk of the season.
If Malcolm had been voted out, yeah.
I mean, they definitely seem like they're in it for the long haul. Caleb even said, like, he was one, shocked to be at the merge, and two, shocked to be at the merge with Emily as his closest ally. Like, even he can't believe that they're, like, together and that they're, like, close, I guess. But I mean, now that Reba and Bello are the big threats, I mean, this is why it's like good to go to tribal council. One, you like prove trust and loyalty with people, and like you're working closely in a group, but also you are less threatening when you all get together and you can like slip by or like work with the cracked alliances on the other bigger tribes.
Yeah. I think, speaking of like voting and stuff, I feel like this is so perfect for like especially Keturah and Bruce and the other Bellows that were like immune for this vote, because they get to finally like solidify alliances on their like original tribe, and they can do it without the threat of like voting each other out. Like that's not even an option. So I feel like this has like only been good for that little group that hadn't been to tribal yet.
Yeah. This twist definitely really helped Bello. I agree, because it's like, if they had all been vulnerable, like I think this would have just become a Bello civil war. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they would have had the thought to like, okay, take advantage of the Rebas, you know, throwing each other on the bus, but like, or like still go after Caleb. But I think this would have been, at least would this vote would have exposed the cracks in Bello much more readily. And so I'll be interested to see like how that helps them moving forward. But I think in a normal scenario, a normal merge, it goes a lot differently for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad that if Keturah and Bruce weren't vulnerable, it wasn't like one of them was immune. Like I want to see it actually play out. And I feel like since next week they're going to be split. So it's not even going to, they continue to kill their own momentum. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to tell you.
But I also feel like, you know, the Keturah and Bruce storyline wouldn't exist as heavily as it does if like they were going to go to separate tribals and one of them goes home. Like, I feel like it's going to play out. Like they're going to be at the same tribal council and one of them will lead to the downfall of the other, or maybe I'm wrong about that. And maybe they both go home in the separate tribals this week.
I mean, I feel like we've seen that happen before. Oh, I was like trying to remember what it was. It was like how, in Winners at War, they established so much, like Michelle is going to cut Wendell. And then it was like not really a thing that, like, it's like I don't think Michelle had any say in that whatsoever when he went home.
I think
Wu like voted for Abby twice.
You what?
She was like trying to save him at that point, I think. I don't know if she did.
It was like weird. Yeah. Winners at War, weird season. Sorry.
Michelle and I kicked it for a while. That's the puzzle commenting on their relationship.
Yeah. What are our thoughts? Maybe I'm getting challenges confused, but how do we feel about challenge puzzle phrases that are like nothing that's ever been said on Survivor before?
I'm so glad Rebuses are back on Survivor. I miss them so much. I love a Rebus. Zaboomafu is alive and well, and I meant Zoom, not
Zaboomafu.
Anyway, I love a good Rebus, so I'm thrilled that it's not like, come on in or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it makes it more challenging. I like that they're switching up the puzzles, but I like it more when it's like something they would like have an idea, like is like a phrase in the Survivor verse. It's like, you will be safe going forward tonight or whatever it was called. It's like so weird.
It's like AI generated. The merge is tonight and you are on it.
It's like nonsense phrases. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. The great, I think Drew or Basil said that's the great equalizer. Yeah, do we want to? His like little baseball thing.
Oh, God.
Tomato.
I didn't even notice it the first time around, but then on the rewatch, it just really stands out, especially because they give him a little reaction shot of everybody going, oh, that was good. Yeah. Like, no, it wasn't. Shut up.
He's really good.
And I know that Jeff was like searching for someone to put like a cap on the conversation or whatever, but in the edit, it reads like he's like stopping the fun conflict that's going on. That's like, but like, I understand that Survivor's a game where you have to like play production and play Jeff and like appease them or whatever. But these, like, I just hate these metaphors. Like, he started the conversation being like
Jeff Probst, and it's by doing this kind of crap.
Yeah, I would love it if Drew joined the podcast. But like, he started the conversation saying he's like a nerd who walked into a frat party, which like,
I was fine with that one. That's like kind of cutesy. I get it. Whatever.
Overdone. He's been doing this all season.
I hated it when Ryan did it on HHH, and you know, I hate it now. And now we're talking about the baseball it's people making big swings, it's either gonna strike out or home run. Like, it makes sense, but it doesn't actually mean anything. And it's just like filling water, treading. Not thrilled about it.
It was definitely funny though to watch him in that scene, like the way that they presented it, of just like everybody was having fun watching the dancing bug, and then he's being like, this is horrible, I need to make a plan, we need to figure the strategy out. It's like, bro, go socialize.
Yeah, him and Austin are like standing behind the shelter talking to each other about who they're gonna take out, while every other person is like, yeah, like you can hear it in the background.
It was like SpongeBob's house, like dance lights coming out of in the background. Oh my god. Okay. It's like,
oh no, what were you saying?
No, I was just gonna, he's like such a wet blanket in a lot of ways, and I know he's like so young, and I know he's a big fan, so I don't know, like, I don't know. None of this is to say that he's a bad person or that I think he's like whatever. It's just like that moment like really was cringy to me. That was
like helped me understand him as a player though.
Yeah.
As a fan, I'm sure he recognizes that he's not the best player of all time. But okay, the other thing that they talked about at Tribal that was not really present, I felt, in the like camp life scramble, was the concept of office hours and people who were closed for office hours and open for office hours. Yeah. My interpretation of what that meant was that the safe people were at times being like, sorry, I'm not strategizing right now, I'm like doing something else, like I don't need to strategize. And then, but like, and sometimes they were like, okay, yeah, my office hours are open, like we can strategize. But they didn't really, did anybody else have a different read on what that meant?
I thought it was about the safe people being like open to hear what the not safe people were, because there was that scene where the not safe people were sitting waiting for like the people caked in mud to clean themselves. That was what I thought they were referring to. But Julie was the one who brought it up. So it, like, I was like, but that doesn't really make sense because Julie is immune. So I was just like very confused by all of it.
I wish we had gotten a bigger scene like they did at when Brando went home, like where every single person was like, they organized and had every single person in a like line talking to every single person, other person, like, and they did like a speed dating thing.
I would love that. Someone should try to get that to happen and then get voted out, probably. It would be like the opposite of what's his face from Kageyan.
Kageyan.
Nobody strategize, please. He was kind of a king for that. Yeah, this was a fun little, again, this would be such a fun, like, actual true merge vote. But this was a really fun tribal. I think Caleb, like, being so desperate was, like, perfect, because then we do just get to hear, like, who he wants to leave. This is just what tribal council should be every time. I loved it.
Yes.
It's funny that they do these fewer people immune things so that there's nowhere to hide, but this merge vote would have been so much more fun if there was nowhere to hide and no one was immune.
But I loved it. So Jeff, I don't really care about most questions at tribal council, but like Jeff asks Keturah, so what would it be like if you weren't safe tonight? And she's like, yeah, I can't ever, you know, consider there's a possibility where sometimes I won't be safe when I come to tribal council. It was like, what are we talking about? She's like understanding the concept of sometimes I won't be immune and explaining that to us.
It's like, yeah, we're over halfway through the game and like there are people who have not been capable of receiving a vote. It's like, Jeff, your game is broken.
Like, welcome to your first tribal council. Grab your torch, but also you can't go home tonight. Congratulations. Maybe next time.
Fire represents your life. So here, grab some fire, but also there's no chance that it'll be snuffed out tonight.
I mean, look, if you want to do well, I'm sure they were very happy that night. That could not be them. So
Good for them.
So I was confused. I thought Austin only had to sacrifice his vote once. So yeah, every time he wants to extend it, he has to sacrifice it. What?
Now it's a fully fledged immunity idol.
Why do you have to do it twice?
Because the first one extended it to like, I don't know, like 10 or something. And then, or maybe like 3 tribal councils or something. And now it's to the end.
And why did Bruce not have to do anything? Like,
I think that as they got closer and closer to the merge, they re-hid stuff and changed the task that it was going to be so that, like, it was more likely that it could happen. Because, like, they could obviously, I'm sure that the original plan was something similar to the tree finding and the, like, buried axe thing or whatever. But, like, as they get to day 11, day 12, there's just not enough time for these people to like do all that. And so I bet like when they were at the challenge last episode, it was like rehidden and redone so that it's just like under the shelter and there's no like finding anything.
Yeah, it was funny to me when like they found that and then it was literally the entire tribe minus Keturah. So it's like, okay, just like go dig. Like there's no reason to hide this. Like any sort of like tension that was supposed to come out of, oh, it's under the shelter is just like instantly gone when everyone is aware of it.
But then it's like, so he found it as they were going to the merge. But the is like, if you don't find it, you don't get your vote back. So what is like the plan? Ever?
Yeah, I just like it's. This is a minor complaint in the grand scheme of things, but it's like it's still like production's playing a bit like Calvin Ball with how they set up some of these twists and when certain idols require, because it's like I guess they're maybe just saying like rehidden idols different rules, but you know I would have thought there would have been a similar mechanism, but expect the unexpected, I guess. Like I guess like you know there's no predictability. So I was just, yeah, when Bruce didn't have to sacrifice his vote, I was like, huh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I hope that these wacky, goofy idol thingies stop or diminish.
They won't.
Stop watching.
Yeah. But this was such a fun tribe. People were asking this when Kelly canceled all those votes, but it's like, why didn't one person vote for an Emily or something? What are our thoughts on that?
This many people, like this is just like where it's the I get it's hard to like do that because you're like, well, it could come back on me if it backfires. But like, there's so many people voting. You've just gone to the merge. Like, so many people haven't cast a vote yet. You can't even get so many people that like, can't recognize each other's handwriting because like not everyone, like there's just so little, like this is like the safest opportunity to do that. Yeah. I think. And especially with shot in the dark in the play, it's a lot easier to just be like, this was defensive. I am like, so like, I'm really shocked Jay Maya didn't throw a vote. Everyone's like, Emily should have. It's like, no, like Emily, I get why Emily didn't. Cause like, I think Caleb would have understood if, you know, like everyone would have understood if she had thrown one, but like, I think Jay knew things were not looking good for her. We saw like the second he was safe, she knew like I'm fucked. And so it's tough. I get it. But this was just the safest scenario to do it. And it's really shocking. No one did.
I think especially given the fact that you are including Emily in this vote for whatever reason you've decided to do that, like, obviously there's like a 90% chance that she's gonna tell Caleb to play the shot in the dark, like, so he's definitely going to. And so it's just like, someone should. And I think that Emily, either with Caleb or in confessional, is like, I'm gonna vote with the majority because like I'm on shaky ground as it is, and like the only way that Caleb is gonna get through this at all is if the shot in the dark pans out. And so like, it's either he gets voted out and he's not even on the jury and can't get mad at her about it, or he stays and she's proven loyalty with them and like they're still working together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she covered herself enough. You could tell that the vote really wasn't, there was not much of an opportunity for her to do anything. She had pretty much blended in well with the Rebas, with the whole Austin and Drew thing from the last tribe. So they, you know, came in saying, Emily voted with us, we can trust her, you know, she's our number. You know, with zero momentum to do anything else, Emily, like she said in confessional, she's like, I don't have like the capital to like push my weight around and make some other plan right now. I just need to kind of lay low and go with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate, but hey, it worked out for her. So
yeah, like, she's totally fine now.
She's good. She's chilling. I was nervous. I was a little nervous. I mean, it felt like Jay's boot episode for sure, but I was still nervous when it was down to, you know, the revote and it was Jay or Emily going home. And I was like, well, they like, you know, like Dee and all them were just defending Jay, defending themselves too. But I was a little nervous that it could have flipped onto Emily, but
both I was bad. Mm-hmm. I loved that moment of Keturah and Julie having a cute little moment.
This is my first tribal.
It's so adorable. I just love this cast is so freaking fun. This was just a really fun tribal. And I'm not excited for once again a not real merge vote next week, but I don't know. These dynamics are so good. It's like I'll stomach it. I'll survive through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on the ep?
Yes, there was a small moment after they were like after the challenge, after the feast. There was a part where everybody was getting washed off in the ocean, and there's a shot where Jake is like walking out of the ocean and he falls he like collapses into the water
in the challenge too. When he tumbles down, like all of them kind of fell awkwardly down that net, but like when he fell down he made a loud noise like, oh, that didn't feel good or something. I was it's scaring me.
I know. I mean, I always called those nets the Courtney Moon Memorial Nets. Like, they're just like scary to me. Someone's gonna snap a bone.
This net, I'm surprised they keep doing them so much.
It was like at an 89 degree angle.
Jake, Jake is a sweetie pie, and I am really enjoying him. The part where they where Bruce was looking for the idol, and then Jake was doing like the winks, like, "Hey man, I lost my ring. Like, come on, bro, we gotta look for it." And like winking to us and like smiling. I was like, "Oh my god, my heart." he is fantastic, and I guess maybe hold off full comments until, you know, 5 minutes until we get to Edgic, but. If he ends up being a medevac at some point, I will be heartbroken. Oh,
the ring scene was really where his theater background was coming out. I felt the anger in when he was like, "Damn it!"
Yeah, damn it.
An actor.
Oh, he's the best.
Jake is so cute. It's like weird. I feel like this cast is so likable, but I feel like we have a lot more like villain quotient this season as well. People are more willing to be, like you said, petty or just like straight up talk shit about each other through their faces sometimes in confessional. It's just so great. I hope this keeps going forever. This is what Survivor should be forever.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I'll take it.
Final thought is that there there, I just don't think we would ever get a scene like this in a regular season, but there was a part at the when they all got together on the beach where there was just like 30 seconds about how it's raining, like, and Sifu was like running around, like sneaking up on people, just like reminding us that Sifu's wild, I guess, but like everyone was like, it's raining.
They're just like Animal Crossing villagers.
They have like two of the same characters right now with Sifu and Kendra. So I don't know if like they're ever gonna like clash and be like, no, only one of us can be the silly goose on this island, or if like they're both going to be like are they gonna take them both to the end? I mean, I know Sifu's not super in on the numbers, but like they're taking up the same space. I think Kendra's doing it better because I like her a lot more. But Sifu's great too. So I don't know. It just feels like, again, the same character. I don't know what, you know, if anything, they're gonna have to do with each other. Curious.
I'm excited. The clash of the goofballs. I would love to see it, honestly. But I feel like Kendra's bug eyes will, you know, annihilate Sifu. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
I think so.
His warrior poses.
Yes.
You'll be a pariah or whatever.
Oh, yeah. What's a pariah?
He's like, I feel like a pariah. What's that?
Yeah. She still didn't know what it was.
Mother, she's amazing.
And we talked about it a little bit, but the Bruce and Caleb scene was probably my favorite of the episode. Like, he's like on the verge of tears talking about like strategizing. And it was just so fun. And Caleb handled himself really well in that like completely bizarre situation.
Yeah. Oh my God. Bruce is I know people are down on him, including my girl Keturah, but he's just a fun character. I'm like sad we didn't get to see him on 44 more, because I hope he would be giving whatever he's giving in this season. Well, maybe not. His ego, he wasn't a celebrity at that time, so maybe he'd be more grounded.
He's been on TV. He's
heard of it? Heard of Survivor?
Oh, gosh. Does anybody have any thoughts?
Just edgy ones.
I got mad at Jeff when he gave them out the merge buffs and they were all muddy. I was like, I'm not putting this on now. I'm muddy.
Especially, I will say, like, beautiful, gorgeous color.
The mud has to stop.
Wrap it up and leave it. The mud does have to stop.
Jeff is sick. He, like, loves to watch people covered in mud, like, eating food. Ugh. Like, it's sick. Like, they're... Oh, also, the sanctuary, where good things happen. Okay, we're still doing this.
Fuck my life.
if it was really a place where good things happen, let me take a fucking shower and get this mud off of me. Like, what is the... Like, I didn't watch it. I saw that on Jeff's podcast with Devin's, there was, like, a clip on YouTube, on Twitter, someone put up like a video of them talking about the mud. I'm like, it's not that, like, there were some iconic mud challenges in the past, yes, like the wipe the mud off yourself challenge, cool, but just the presence of mud itself, like, it's not giving, like, yeah, it's just like people get dirty.
Yeah, Jeff's just a fucking freak.
It's like, but it's so like, slippery getting up the target ball, like, you have to like account for that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like,
what did he say? Like, he was like, do you have some kind of perverse kinky thoughts about whatever? Like, what did he say a couple episodes ago?
Are you getting some perverse enjoyment out of this? He said that to
Kelly. Like, he did not say kinky.
That was
a children's show, remember?
The Rebus is
did the bitter jurors wish an official happy birthday, a happy 62nd birthday to that man?
Oh,
we did not.
I mean, I had a birthday party for an actual friend yesterday, so
my nephew's birthday.
I'll count it.
My friend Lance's birthday. It was someone else's birthday.
Jeff Probst, you're good friend.
There was a lot of birthdays yesterday.
I know. Scorpio season, it's a strange time. We're gonna make it through. Don't worry, everyone.
Matt, happy birthday, Jeff. Is there anything you want to plug before we talk about Edric?
Sure thing. The main project I have going on right now is a challenge podcast, which doesn't really land with most members on this panel, non-challenge watchers, but it's okay.
Or any of us.
Yes. Covering the challenge on Scally and I, Brian Scally, and I have a new podcast feed, the Free Agents Podcast. So we've been doing all of our coverage over there, and we're doing some weekly episodes, some bonus episodes. We're actually also going to be talking about Survivor on that bonus episode this week. So glad I got to, you know, warm myself up here for that conversation we're about to have. So the Free Agents Podcast, check that out. And was covering Big Brother here and there, but that's about to end, and we're all better for it. So vote for Suri for America's favorite house guest, and that's my plug. And I'm on Twitter at Matt Ligori.
How do you respond to the criticism that your show is called Free Agents, but you launched with a Patreon?
Oof, stump me. I would do horrible at tribal council. Well, it is free. You are very much welcome to only live in the free world. But I feel like that topic might have come up at some point. Did we name the Patreon paid agents?
Or free pageants.
That works too. Colin would be proud. Wait, this has nothing to do with Edgic, so let me get it out as well. The live show in New York City a couple weeks back for Robin's podcast, I was there. I was with my boyfriend, and we were walking down the street. And Sam, I think, knows this. I had sent a message in a group chat we were in, and I said, "Oh, we're just walking on the street past Brando and Jay Maya," and the whole cast was there. Everybody on the entire cast, except for one person, I think Drew, was not in attendance during that Know-It-Alls week. So we were just like, "Oh, Jay Maya and Brando, like they must be staying in a hotel together." And then we saw Brando get voted out last week. We were like, "I wonder if Jay Maya is going to go next."
Oh.
Because they were hanging out. They were living. They were whatever. So and it turned out to be true. So bizarre. Stay away from Survivors in the Wild if you don't want to know what happens.
Good advice.
So true. They
just don't interact with them.
They let things slip without even knowing what they're talking about.
I don't even know what happened with. I don't know the Katara controversy. I saw that Devins was like coming down on her for something, but
she very hilariously just made a like very long TikTok talking about her beef with Bruce and stuff that like wasn't shown, like very obviously violating whatever contract she signed to like not talk about what happened on the season. And the TikToks are gone from her TikTok page, so I think the CBS probably. Oh, they were gone before then, but like it was like some people posted them to Twitter, so they still exist. But I think the CBS girlies sent her an email being like, "Please cease and desist this behavior.
Like, get off TikTok. The only people that can make TikToks are Eliza Orland and Kelly Wentworth.
Yep,
everybody else off."
Hey, Lauren Ashley Beck is in the industry.
Yeah, and Shan, I still see people post about Shan too. Rick Devins, you are a narc. I'm sorry. Leave Katara alone. Let her talk her shit. It's fine. The end. My thoughts.
Christine, plugging.
Oh yeah, we're plugging. Yeah,
find me on Twitter and Instagram at the XTeen Files. My Twitter's private now, and I kind of like it. I was like, "Ooh, I like that you have to like knock to get in." So you can give me a knock, and maybe I'll let you in. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor with Gia Worthy. Listen to the Shadow Play Gays, me and Derek's podcast about Revolutionary Girl Utena. And then, as always, you should check out the Opera Project website I developed for my fiance, and it's just sapphoproject.com if you want to listen to some gay opera. That's it for me.
Work. You can follow
me. How about you, Derek?
You can follow me at Rain Derek's on Twitter. Follow us at Bitter Jurors Pod, Twitter, Instagram. Yes. Sam?
I'm at Sam Stanish on Instagram. I got another podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, Instagram and Twitter. We are recording season 3 now, taking a page out of the Choir Room podcast book, releasing them in blocks. If you're in the New York area, come to Crystal Lake every Wednesday for Survivor. You know, send me your alt account, and I think that's everything I want to plug.
So, Edgic, thoughts, feelings? Mergatory, usually an interesting taste of what is to come. Anything?
I will say, as someone who's been waving my Freak Kelly flag all season, this episode was tough.
A much needed cool down for an already cooled down presence.
Well, it wasn't even that cool. It, you know... She gets a bunch of good stuff, but then out of nowhere, for no reason, they threw in this soundbite of her being like, "How do I know what the heck is gonna happen?" And I'm just like, "Oh God, I guess not."
And for me, I mean, I also have had an eye on Kelly for a variety of reasons. One, she's like the most beautiful human being on earth, and those eyes are incredible. And also because her edit's been great. She's so pretty. her edit's been great, but the fact that now it's intertwined with Austin makes me nervous. You know, they were both talking about this week, you know, what happens with the idol and the whatever it is, how it can get more powerful. So I'm worried about that. And I don't know, like, she's certainly going to be a big player going down the stretch here. And like, I just feel like something big will happen regarding her and her game, whether it's like her turning on her allies or people turn on her, because she's already been flagged up as like, she's a threat. We have to take her out at some point. So that part does make me nervous, but she'd certainly had like the edit has the juice for her to go all the way, so I'm still hopeful, but I'm not feeling as high on her as I am about some others, specifically those like D, who's been getting plenty of time, and I'm gonna hold out a little bit of hope. If it's not gonna be one of the girlies, then hopefully Jake has something there if he's not medevaced. So there's a couple people still in contention.
Yeah, I'm digging, I'm feeling the D illusion still. I mean, I loved her. She got what I would say is like a pretty, used to be a very typical, like, we got to hear her very quickly thoughts on what it means to be merged. We got a major update on like, these are my four people, this is my game plan going forward into the merge. She had a big tribal council moment where she got to bring back in her I'm a firecracker like line from before.
She's like, I'm Cuban.
Yeah. Yes, in case you forgot. And I, it was like, to me, it was definitely a quieter episode, which was scary to me. But I think the stuff we did get from Dee was like kind of perfect, especially for an episode where she's losing like ostensibly a number. Yeah. Like it made so much sense to me. I'm trying to think who else stood out to me in this episode. Honestly, Bruce, I was like, oh, interesting. Obviously, like not Winter vibes, but I was like shocked that he, I mean, got his target essentially, like not in the ultimate run of things, but he did get everyone to vote for the person he wanted to leave. So that's, I mean, I was kind of impressed by Bruce.
In a world where that man on 43 won, like,
yeah,
is like, I can't like totally count Bruce out.
I mean, yeah.
And like, and there I, was, yeah. What was the whole thing? There was a person, there was Ellie, I think was her name in the pre-merge of that season. That was like Gabler sucks. Gabler sucks. I remembered it, that she's like, Gabler sucks. And then I don't, is Katara filling that spot here? But I don't know.
But
don't
we were not supposed to like Ellie or think that she was right in this episode where like Caleb is the paragon of good humanity. I, like saying that like Bruce sucks. It like, I just don't think that that would happen. In this,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, his, I think his we own can tribe wouldn't vote for him right now, given the way that they're all talking about him.
I feel like, and this is new conspiracy that I'm coming up with, because people are like still thinking it's Emily. I am still unconvinced, especially this episode. Caleb was like, Emily was so bad at this game when she started. Like, I think it is like not a good thing for a winner to have someone say. But I think that perhaps we're being set up for Bruce versus Emily fire making, and Emily is the fallen angel and Bruce is the zero vote finalist.
I could see that. Who do
I
you think
see that, yeah.
Who would he be sitting up with though?
Great question.
I mean, if it's like, because whenever I think about like, okay, this person is like finalist, then it's like, I'm trying to think, well then how, what's the journey to get there? I'm trying to think who would be willing to like drag Bruce along with them. I mean, Ellie has been Dee and Julie. I could see too. They scoop up a Bruce and then Emily, and they're like, we're gonna do great no matter who we take with us to the end. I just feel really great about Dee. Julie again makes me sad that she is very clearly secondary. I think it's done. We can. I don't know. I'm ready to like rule her out. I'm ready to rule out most people. Honestly.
If Caleb's prophecy comes true and he says, you know, Dee and Julie, you should vote out Jay because it'll take the target off your back, and then the two of them end up in the final tribal together with a Bruce that's essentially a goat at that point. Mm-hmm. And Caleb will probably be on the jury unless we don't know how this week is going to go and if he gets voted out again. But if he's there to be like, I told you guys so vote for one of the two of them because they did the thing.
Yeah,
I do wonder how the Survivor producers think about an idol play and who gets what they want or how they do that. Like, are they thinking about it as Bruce like went like got it because everybody voted for Caleb. Like, I don't think so. Like, I think that it's more like Caleb won, even though in the grand scheme of things, clearly Bruce has more power because he's the one being like, we got to take out Caleb. So what we really are seeing is the Reba 4, and more specifically, Julie and D getting what they want because Jay ultimately went home. And Sifu too, but like I think Sifu's definitely not winning.
Yeah, I think they are very results oriented. It's like, oh yeah, Jay Maya went home. Like that is just like the fact that they're going with. Doesn't really matter how it happened. We're gonna just like kind of establish who got it right and who got it wrong based on the fact that Jay Maya leaves at the end of this episode. And so that's how I would see it. Like you said, I mean, it's like, think back to like the Witch's Coven is who we were supposed to be happy for and think we're like the best players ever when Kelly played that idol. Like that was the takeaway. It wasn't supposed to be, wow, good on like the Majority Alliance for like, they voted correctly. It's just, she had an idol.
Bion, yay!
Like, yes, Bion strong. Like that was not the takeaway, even though obviously Jeremy went on to win. But it's, I don't know. It's tough. Like you said, to know who we're supposed to think was right. I guess you could say maybe Bruce was set up to look bad because this ended with his target not going home and like no one even like splitting votes. Like Bruce was too like honed in on Caleb to like get a result maybe he wanted.
And Bruce has just been looking so bad for so much of this season. It's that's why I'm just so curious to see where he goes, because he's like not quite, people are calling him a villain. He's like, he's not quite a villain. He's just kind of an annoying guy who's kind of got some influence and power. So it's like, I'm curious to see, is he going to be, I liked the suggestion of Windsfire making zero vote finalists. I think that could be a plausible storyline for him. Or is he going to be, end up this trajectory continue of him kind of actually becoming a villain, or at least a very person in the center of power, and then merge, and he's the person that the eventual winner needs to take out, the, you know, the, who was it last season? I can't remember, but like the Jesse Carson, of it all. Like, yeah, it was Carson. Yeah, Carson last time was kind of like that. But like, he's also just been doing so negatively. So it's like hard to tell what they're doing with him and what
honestly happen. I feel like Caleb would be the dragon that would need to be slain.
I think Caleb, but it's like he could easily go next week. Like,
yeah, I think Caleb is short run for this game. And I think that like, people might be worried about Emily's like story or whatever, and it'll be something that way where she's like comes into her own. That's David Wright kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the Lulus will be a problem. Yeah,
I hope so. I kind of hope so, just because I've been prognosticating that she won't win from the beginning, so that I'm right. But I think it'd be so fun if she, like, I love Emily.
Yeah,
she'd be great. A great character, great winner. I just, since I care about my own self-perception, I hope that I'm right.
Yeah, they're certainly not, like, they're not the Tika 3. Like, the Tika 3 made it as far as they did because they were all such unique individual personalities and players that maybe, like, weren't as highly regarded as players. Like, people were, like, disregarding, you know, just their capabilities to play the game with each other and bounce in between the two groups. But nobody's looking at Caleb and Emily and being like, oh, like, they're not going to win if we let them get to the end. So they're certainly going to be on the radar all the way.
Yeah. Caleb is so fun. I know he won't win, but I just think that he is a really great character, and just like, I just, the whole group, just everybody on the season.
Yeah, you guys will never know this because you won't watch it, but Caleb will be great when he shows up on the challenge. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, he's, yeah.
I'm excited for that one a lot.
I see that. Yeah, everyone's clocked in this season, which is very exciting. You'll love to see it. Like we said, feel bad for Sifu. I feel like, I don't know, I could see the Reba 4 being like kind of the end game crew as well, just because that's, I feel like a lot has been invested in that foursome. Even though maybe, like you said, Bello feels maybe more like central to the season, I just feel like that four is like, when is anyone ever going to go for them? Like, no one even really talks about them as a four. It's like the Reba women or like Austin Drew. Like, no one's really clocking them quite yet.
They're the largest group we have on the season. Like, they're the only people who are in like a alliance that's more than two people, basically. Other than like the Bello girls, but they've all worked against each other at this point, it feels like. So I mean, mainly just Kelly, I guess, but it was never real. Like, I, you know, so we'll see what happens. I'm less all about Austin this week than I was last week. Yeah, it feels like it's more about like sandwich revenge than like long-term goals, but or like storyline, but we'll see. He got what he wanted.
Related to that, I found out his mom has a Twitter, and every single tweet is about how much she loves her son and loves that he loves
sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. So I just shout out to Austin's mom. She seems like such a sweetie pie. I agree. Austin, don't really care for him. Definitely not for Drew or Basile. No. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get Tiffany'd again and D is going to go bye-bye like next week.
If D goes, like this podcast is going to be in shambles.
I know. But I mean, I just feel, I don't know. I'm definitely feeling like the confirmation bias from myself. Like that's what I want to see. But I mean, like we said, Emily, I don't know. If it's not a journey edit, then I think it is a winner's edit. But we shall see.
But the only thing I will say about the Emily thing is that her opening confessional is, if I don't go home first, I'd better win or whatever. Like, if I don't win, I'd better go home
Miranda.
It's not worth it. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's, like, the one thing that I feel like where I'm like, oh, my God, maybe she will. But I still think she's been portrayed negatively too much. But I think it'd be fun.
Well, that's a good
I'm having a good time.
I can see her going out on fire with the confessional like that to open things up, just to be like, well, she obviously she would have won, you know, that would be the case that she would have won if she got to the end, but fire.
Yeah.
But our show is broken now, so she can't.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Those are my general thoughts. I'm glad that it feels like a girly is going to take it home this year. That's just the vibe I'm getting.
Us every season at this point.
No, I agree. I agree. I think the women have it this season. Mm-hmm. It's a question of which one.
Right. I'm very excited. So yes. Any other eggy thoughts before we say bye-bye?
Nope.
Not a damn thing in any of those goals. Okay. Thank you all for listening so much. Thank you, Matt, for joining us as always.
Yay. Thanks for having me, of course.
Yes. We'll see you all next week for another Not Merge episode. Get ready for two people to go home. Yay. bye.
Bye.
Bye.